And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on spring training baseball, this guy does a great job with the St. Louis Cardinals as their team reporter. He's my good friend, John Denton. John, how you doing today?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We were talking off air. You've been down here for a month now, and I know you used to live here in Florida covering the Orlando Magic. Are you just like, okay, I'm just going to live here in Florida and cover baseball? Is that the game plan?
Yeah, you know, when I hear that it's snowing up in St. Louis or it's in the 30s or stuff like that, I'm just fine down here in Florida. You know, I've been in Florida for 25 years now, and every chance I get, I'm always back in Florida. So, I miss the Sunshine State when I'm up in St. Louis.
How many years now you've been covering the Cardinals?
This will be my third season covering the Cardinals. I started in 22. I got Albert Pujols' chase for 700 home runs right off the bat. And last season was a bad one for the Cardinals, but we had Adam Wainwright win 200 games. So, a good season, a bad season so far. And, the Cardinals are hoping to be better this year after going out and signing a bunch of pitching.
As a reporter for the team, I know you're looking for stories. So what do you do, day to day being there at spring training? Because I know you're not just doing game recaps. You're looking for the season. What's that like for you?
Yeah, at MLB.com where I work now, Mark, we don't write a lot of game stories. We want to, get inside of the game and write about the theme of the night and, show a different side of players. I do, stories every day on the website. We also do two newsletters. I recently wrote about Brendan Donovan, Cardinals Gold Glove infielder, is about to have his first child. Jordan Walker bought a home down here in Jupiter, Florida, so that he could train with Jose Aquindo and Willie McGee for 5 days a week and get better at his craft. So I like to go inside and find out something about the guy and, try to tell fans things that they don't know about a player. We all see them on the field, but, tell me what kind of person they are off the field and things that go on in their lives that interest them. So, that's the stories I always try to look for.
For the younger reporters who are listening to this, the young journalists, the next generation, how hard is it to build those relationships when you see these guys every day?
Yeah, it is. It can be tough, and you're never going to be their best friend. You don't really want to be their best friend, but you want to. You want them to trust you. You want them to know that you're going to be there every day. That you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. That you're see things from the way they did. I've always thought it was a benefit for me, Mark. I'm 6'5". I played football in college. I played all three sports in high school: baseball, basketball, football. I'm a former athlete, so I feel like it kind of gives me an advantage because I know what a lot of these guys are going through. I know what they're thinking in that moment and that sort of thing. And, just being there and being a man of your word and knowing that they can trust you, they tend to open up to you a little more and, give you the stories that maybe they wouldn't give to someone else.
I was talking to a play-by-play guy the other day, and we brought up this idea of you kind of have to be a little of a homer if you're working for the team. Do you have to kind of – I know, this is tough – you're there for the Cardinals. Cardinals fans are reading your stuff, watching you. Do you have to kind of be a homer, or do you have to be fair with this stuff?
Yeah, Mark, when I worked in Orlando, I was a team employee, and that was a little different. Now I'm a Major League Baseball employee. I'm not an employee of the Cardinals at all. And, of course, Cardinal fans want to read. They read more when their team wins. Like, that's just the way it is. But you can't sacrifice your credibility. If you're painting it out to be something beautiful and it's not, you're going to lose your credibility. They're not going to read you. They're not going to believe you. You have to tell fans. Sports fans are pretty blunt, and they will tell you when you're wrong. They can read through something that's fake. So you've got to tell them the what's really going on. You can't cover up. You can't fool a sports fan. You can't blind them because they know what's going on. Nobody loves their own team like a fan of that team, and nobody hates their team like a fan of that team. So you have to be real with fans.
It's like a family member.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I understand completely. All right. How has spring training gone so far there with the Cardinals in Jupiter?
Well, things were looking, okay for the Cardinals. Monday, everything changed. Sonny Gray, the pitcher that the Cardinals went out and spent $75 million on. They want him to be the ace of their staff. He had looked really good all spring. On Monday, he throws a pitch, feels a grab in his hamstring. 2022, he had two hamstring injuries, so he knew I got to stop throwing now. And it's a good thing you did. You know, they're tabbing it as a mild hamstring strain, but, you know, they had him down as their opening day starter. 3 weeks from tomorrow, the Cardinals are going to be in Dodger Stadium. You know, 68,000 fans, Shohei Ohtani, Yoshi Yamamoto, opening the season. You know, be Ohtani's first game as a Dodger at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sonny Gray was supposed to pitch that game, but it looks like now he's not going to. So the Cardinals will probably have to turn to somebody like Miles Michaelis, a Jupiter native, or Steven Matz or Kyle Gibson. You know, they brought in a bunch of veterans this year. It was going along fine, and then when you see your ace grab at his hamstring, that's always a bad sign.
We're here with John Den, covers the Cardinals. He's down there in Jupiter, a good friend of mine. You talk about, you know, expectations. All right, you know, how they looked, how they're going to compete this year. Have you changed the outlook of, all right, just get in the dance now, like it's March Madness, just because the playoffs are so expanded now? Has everyone changed their expectations for postseason?
Yeah, Mark, it's really kind of changed things. I mean, when you see, what is it, the Braves won it all in 20 as a wild card. You know, the Phillies got there in 21 as a wild card, or 22, the Phillies got there in 22 as a wild card. The Braves won it in 21 as a wild card. Last year, the Rangers won it as a wild card. The Diamondbacks got there as a wild card. So it's proving more and more. You know, I talked to Brian Snicker, earlier this year at the winter meeting. So the Braves, they were the best team in baseball all season long. Mm. And then they have to take a week off and they kind of lose that momentum. And, you know, it's happened to the Braves a couple times now. We watched it happen to the Dodgers for years. They would be so far ahead that they would click it into cruise control those last couple weeks of the regular season, and it hurt you in playoff time. And it seems like those wild cards who have to fight their butt off just to get in the playoffs, they're the ones who kind of catch fire and they take that momentum with them and they're winning in the playoffs. So a lot of it now is just get in the playoffs and try to get hot.
Do you talk to management or the players about this subject?
Yeah, you know, everybody knows kind of what's going on. And, you know, so much of it is, you know, you've got to weather that 162. I think it's 162 games and 175 days. So there are not a lot of off days. Games keep on coming. You know, you've got to keep your guys fresh. You got to keep your guys healthy. So, you know, usually the team that's healthy in September and October and playing well, those are the teams that get hot in the playoffs and win it all.
Who's the best player in the Cardinals? Hands down, just gut reaction.
Personally, I think it's Nolan Arenado. You know, Paul Goldschmidt won the MVP in 2022, National League MVP winner. But for my money, it's Nolan Arenado because he does it on both sides of the ball. I mean, there's only two players in the history of the game that won a Gold Glove their first 10 years in baseball, and that was Ichiro Suzuki and Nolan Arenado. I mean, watching him, being able to watch him every day at third base is, I mean, you really get an appreciation of just how good he is. And then he's also a guy who's going to hit 30 home runs and drive in 100 runs every year. So, you know, quite possibly the greatest third baseman and defensive third baseman in history, on top of the fact that he's going to give you 30 and 100 every year.
What's funny is I had a guy on yesterday in Colorado who covers the Rockies, and he's still in shock why he's not on the Rockies. How did the Cardinals get him exactly?
Mark, here's the funny thing about it. The Cardinals also got the Rockies to pay like $50 million of his contract.
What?
Like they, not only did they take their loan off their hands, they got the Rockies to pay for most of it. It's mind-numbing what the Rockies did by giving him up. And then a couple of years later, you go out and give all this money to Chris Bryant, who hasn't been healthy in 3 years. It's mind-boggling that not only could you get Nolan Arenado away from that team, you could get them to pay for most of it. So, you know, there's a reason why teams like the Rockies kind of, they're always in that basement every year. And, you know, that was one of those decisions that really, really just killed that franchise.
We were with John Den talking Major League Baseball. He's there in Jupiter at Cardinals camp getting ready for the season. You brought up Ohtani, $700 million, but he's not getting it now. He's getting it, I don't know, Back to the Future Part 7 in 2090, whatever it is. What are your thoughts, first off, on $700 million?
$700 million is amazing. I mean, that tells you to take your kids out there and teach them how to pitch and teach them how to pitch and hit. I mean, he's a unicorn. He's unlike anybody in the league because he's arguably the best pitcher in the league, and he's definitely the best hitter in the league. So, you know, we all knew if somebody was ever going to do it, it was going to be him. And, you know, we kind of joked that, hey, if you would have told me $900 million, I would have been like, yeah, sounds about right. Or $800 million, it sounds about right, because he's so unique and different than anybody else in the league. And, you know, I'm excited. You know, the Cardinals' first four games of the season are at Dodger Stadium. We're going to get to watch him play his first four games at Dodger Stadium. So, you know, he's not going to pitch this season. And then him deferring $680 of the $700 million, that was a huge advantage for the Dodgers. It allowed them to go out and get Tyler Glasnow from the Rays. It allowed them to sign Yamamoto from the Japanese League. It, you know, so the Dodgers spent $1.2 billion this offseason, and most of that was because they got Ohtani to defer that money. I mean, that was a huge advantage for the Dodgers.
If you're the commissioner of baseball, would you allow that to happen, where he deferred all that money?
Yeah, I think it's a total, you know, competitive disadvantage. You know, there should be a clause. Now, there is, I think it's going to still count 40-something million a year on the
books,
on the Dodgers cap. But it is a huge advantage when, you know, you can kick that can down the road. You can spend the money on other players. And, you know, I'm sure the Dodgers are hoping to parlay this, the contract for him and for Yamamoto into big dollars off the field in Japan. But, you know, if he was not allowed to defer this much money, they wouldn't have been able to go out and trade for Tyler Glasnow and give him $25 million a year. They wouldn't have been able to give Yamamoto more than $30 million a year if they were having to pay all of Ohtani's money now.
What type of pressure are the Dodgers under now to win?
Yeah, they really are. I mean, you spend $1.2 billion, you know, Dave Roberts is, he's got to win this year. You know, he's, I guess he won it all in 2020, the lockout, COVID shortened year. But the Dodgers have really flamed out the last 3 years in a row, and they're the prohibitive favorite to win it all. They've got to win this year, or it probably cost Dave Roberts his job.
I just want you to know, if we were in the front office together, I would say no. I said, let's not get Ohtani. Let's just build a team a different way. Like the Tampa Bay Rays or Arizona. Is that okay if I want to build it that way?
Sure. I mean, you know, depth of the rotation is a big deal. I mean, like we said, Ohtani's not going to pitch this year. What if he never pitches again? Do the Dodgers get a rebate on some of that money? Because, you know, you're paying him $700 million to be a pitcher and a hitter. The hope is that the Dodgers built in clauses if the guy's not a pitcher. And, you know, I do kind of wonder if the Dodgers have enough pitching. Walker Buehler is coming back from a Tommy John surgery. Glasnow's been a guy who's been on the IL pretty much every year of his career. Ohtani's not going to pitch this year. So, you know, there are a lot of doubts that maybe the Dodgers don't have enough pitching. And then, you know, Yamamoto, they gave him $300 million. He's 25 years old. He's never pitched in Major League Baseball. So, you know, we'll see over the test of time if he can stand up against this level of hitters. So there are some doubts, you know, whether the Dodgers have enough pitching to, you know, to win the whole thing.
Look, I'm sorry I keep asking you Dodgers questions, but I just, it's insane what they're doing right now. I don't think there's competitive balance in baseball. This is ridiculous with some of these payrolls. All right, let's go back to John Denton. You cover baseball 24/7. You're on the road all the time. All right. Yep. Outside of being in St. Louis, I know you love the Cardinals. I know you love going to that ballpark. It's a beautiful ballpark. What other cities do you like to go to their ballparks?
I'm going to say one below the radar, Mark. San Diego is maybe one of my favorite cities in America. The weatherman in San Diego is the easiest job in America because it's 78 and sunny every day. The ballpark is right downtown. It's beautiful. That one stands out. You know, I love going to Wrigley. Mm. I love going to Fenway. We had, last season, the Cardinals had a 6-game stretch where we played 3 at Wrigley and then 3 at Fenway. So we were able to kind of, you know, compare and contrast the two oldest ballparks in America. And, you know, there's nothing like the neighborhood surrounding and the ambiance of, you know, the smaller ballparks like that. So, you know, getting to do Wrigley and Fenway back-to-back 6 straight days in a row, that was phenomenal to be able to compare and contrast, what, 2 buildings that were built in 1917 and 1919 or 1911, something like that. So 2 of the oldest parks in America, being able to compare and contrast those were really cool.
You know what I will say? The Cardinals with Busch Stadium, the surrounding area with the bars and restaurants is awesome, and I don't think it gets enough love nationally.
Yeah, the Cardinals did a good job building Ballpark Village. You know, that's kind of the new trend now. They looked at what the Lakers and Clippers did with the Staples Center. You know, they had the areas around it. So the Cardinals built Ballpark Village. So, you know, now they get your money before the game, during the game, and after the game, because it's, you know, you go early and you have a drink at the bar there. There's big screen TVs everywhere. There's the Hall of Fame there. And then right after the game, if you're going to go somewhere, you're probably going to go to Ballpark Village. So it's a genius idea by these billionaire sports owners. They're going to get your money before the game, during the game, and after the game.
Well, Dory, I don't have any money, so good luck with that.
Same.
Same.
I have a daughter in college, so I have no money either.
Do the Miami Marlins, their stadium, does that get a bad rap?
You know, I actually like the stadium. Like, you know, nobody goes to the games, and the ambiance is not great. You know, even when they put 20,000 in there, it's kind of like drinking alone in a bar because it's so cavernous. But I actually like the stadium, and we all know us who lived in Florida forever. You have to have a dome. You know,
yes.
If they didn't have a dome, they would lead the league in rain delays as they used to at Joe Robbie. You would sit outside and melt all night. So I actually like the Marlins Stadium. I know I'm in the minority there, and people don't go to the games, but I actually think it's a great place to watch a baseball game.
I agree with you. I do. Did you see the renderings, John Denton, of what the Las Vegas A's stadium might look like?
You know, Mark, I've been to Sydney, Australia, and I've seen the Opera House with my own eyes. That looked like Sydney Opera House ripoff, didn't it? That was shocking. If they can pull that off, it looks amazing. But, you know, leave it to Vegas to go to the excess and, you know, build something that would shock the system. So, like I said, if they could pull that off, that was amazing.
Do you feel bad, though, for the city of Oakland where they're going to lose another team?
Yeah, yes and no, Mark. Like, yes, it's sad that the fans are losing the team, but I mean, come on, Oakland. Oakland has known for 25 years that they had the worst stadium in baseball. Like, they had the worst stadium in football, and they lost the team because they wouldn't build a new stadium. They lost the basketball team because they wouldn't build a new stadium. Like, it stinks. I hate, you know, giving money to the billionaire owners, but it's the price of doing business in professional sports. If the Orlando Magic didn't build their arena, it would be the Louisville Magic right now or the Kansas City Magic. It's just the price of doing business. If you want pro sports, you have to pay this money. And, you know, like I said, it stinks giving billionaires money to build an arena. But think of Central Florida, all the good concerts that Orlando, the Orlando area gets is because of the Amway Center. And they built that for basketball. But it helps with concerts. It helps with high school graduations, things like that. So, yes, I feel bad for the fans of Oakland, but, you know, they've had 25 years to build a new stadium, and they've never gotten anything done.
Okay, the final one for John Denton. I appreciate coming on. Did you see the renderings of maybe building a new White Sox stadium in downtown Chicago?
I haven't seen the renderings. I know Jerry Reinsdorf is asking for, like, a $2 billion blank check, and the state of Illinois told him to go fly a kite. That would be nice. I would love a stadium in downtown Chicago, but I mean, let's face facts. If the Bears can't get a new stadium, the White Sox probably aren't going to get one either. I know you're a Chicago guy, Mark, but boy, if the Bears are thinking about moving out of downtown, I think the White Sox are going to have a hard time getting that stadium.
Wait, what about the Tampa Bay Rays then? Can we just put them in Tampa or in Orlando and get it over with? Please, John. Come on.
Yes. I've said that for years. I think that team, if you put them in Orlando, it would be, you know, it would be a much bigger hit. Or like you said, even if you put them in Tampa, I mean, we've known for, I was at the first ever Rays game in 1998. People aren't going to drive across that bridge.
No.
Why they would build a new stadium over there in St. Pete? It just doesn't seem to make logical sense because the people of Tampa have spoken. They're not going to drive across the bridge. People in Orlando and Melbourne are not going to drive all the way over there and then have to go over the bridge too. So I would love to see that thing go to Orlando, definitely.
My GM, Pete, he said this for years. You put them in Orlando, you call them the Florida Rays, and then like what you just said. So people, Daytona, Melbourne, they go over, and then even Tampa people. So it's Central Florida's team. And everyone can go, and there'd be plenty of parking as well. I don't know why. I don't know what it means. All right, yeah. So how many more days there till you got to go to Los Angeles?
I leave on the 23rd because I have to get my vehicle back to St. Louis. And then you'll love this, Mark. The Cardinals are playing not only in the Grapefruit League, they're going to play the final two spring training games in the Cactus League against your Cubbies at Wrigley West out in Mesa, Arizona. So they're going to play two games against the Cubs and then head to L.A. to start the season on the West Coast.
All right. Whoa, I got a question then. Follow up. Did you drive your car down to Florida from St. Louis?
I did. But I kind of cheated, though. But, as soon as the season ended, as soon as my commitments were done in St. Louis, I've been in Orlando since January. So, I keep residence there. I've got a daughter at Stetson, so family in Orlando. So I cheat a little bit and get back to Florida as much as I can.
I know. My fantasy is you're like Smokey the Bandit, where you're Burt Reynolds, and you're driving down here.
Yes.
You have 10 hours to get here. How can we check out your work, John?
Cardinals.com and MLB.com. The story's up every day, and there's a bunch of good writers at MLB.com who do a lot of good work. So, like I said, my stuff is Cardinals.com and MLB.com. I get messages, emails, tweets once a week probably from somebody in Central Florida saying, "Hey, I read all your work.
Awesome.
When you were at Florida Today. I read all your work at when you were at the Magic, and now it's good to see you're covering the Cardinals."
And by the way, I know you're 6'5", because when we would go on News 13 together, I would have to have the crate on my feet, so I look taller. Hey, I know. All right, John Den, thanks for your help, and have a great day.
I appreciate it, Mark. Take care.